That way we won't have to use the excuse of my eyes because I'm getting younger. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. God is good. And I want you to know that there is nothing in your life that he has not got his hand on. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we just ask that you be with us this day as we share your word. And we honor you and bless you and give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to kind of stay in the wheelhouse or in the stadium that Pastor Mark's been preaching. I'm very comfortable there. And in fact, it is a comfort zone of my preaching. So it wasn't difficult. But I want to just emphasize what your pastor is teaching you is going to save your life. And I hope you listen to these messages and get them in your spirit. I'm going to share with you a life-giving truth with a kingdom and godly focus and perspective, not a worldly, religious, or New Age perspective. I think it's important as we go forward that you understand as we start talking about the internalness of our being. Amen. We are not talking about looking for yourself. You know, the New Age movement, the big thing is that seek for your inner self. Well, I did that one time. I didn't like what I found because there was no hope in it. It was by my limitations and by my circumstances that my life was defined. And right there, God said to me, I'm your hope. So they purpose the world and the religious spirit purpose to look us to look inside and, as I said, find our inner self. That's not what God's talking about. We're sharing the answer to our lives to find out what God has planted and imputed in our lives that will strengthen us and bring us into the destiny of what God has called us to be. For years, I have observed the instability and unrest that exist in the inner being of individuals. We deal with it all the time. I think every one of us deals with it all the time. Oftentimes, we deal with it with ourselves looking in the mirror. Even more interesting is how we find that there's little difference. When I talk to the world and I talk to believers, and we do a lot, not recently in the last year, but throughout our career. And it's very interesting that we find sometimes little difference between the condition of Christians and the people in the world. It's oftentimes I talk to Christians and I just want, are you saved? Because what's coming out of them, I think when we don't say that because we don't want to be derogatory because we know they love the Lord. One of the questions the Lord asked me a long time ago, and I've preached on it, I don't know how many years. And the question simply was, do you know who you are and who is in you? Very short statement, but very profound truth. For the purpose of this message, the Lord told me and instructed me to reverse the question. And Pastor Mark, ever since, because of the message that you've given, and ever since he said this to me, it's just been resonating like an amplifier in my spirit. And he says, do you know who and what is in you so that you will know who you are? Let me repeat that, because we're all looking for who we are, and we're looking everywhere where the answer is. And so what the Lord said to me is that, do you know who and what is in you so that you will know who you are? See, once you know who you are by knowing who is in you, you are unshakable, unmovable, and you're standing on the rock and not a parted sand that moves every time you move your feet. As a pastor, it has amazed me, my dear beloved, and I know I want to share this, and it's a prelude, and I've said this before, but it just simply amazes me. I meet many strong Christians / disciples. And I see circumstances come in their life, and I see these people crumble. These people that we held up as pillars of strength, nothing was going to happen to him, and circumstances and situations and issues start to arise in your life. And the process of handling and dealing with these reveals the true makeup and substance of the spirit of the inner man. It's when we're tested do we reveal who we really are. Oftentimes, these circumstances and situations and issues will change one's perspective. It will change the fundamental truth and belief system that they have inside them. The circumstances change how they believe and what they think. It alters their relationship with the Lord, which leads often, I know this has never happened to anybody, leads to us questioning, doubting our faith. Is God still here? Wondering, whether God really loves me. Allowing circumstances to create a negative image of themselves, and then they start questioning who they are in God. And then the cycle starts, because once you do that, the external forces now take over to mold and shape your life. And it only molds and shapes your life to take you away from God. Understand, every force of the enemy, every force of the of government, every force that's out there, they are there to take you away from the dependence of God. This is happening because most believers and disciples, I use that because I kind of changed my preaching to the point, I don't say believers much anymore. Because I know a lot of people who believe a lot of things there, and slash disciples. So believers slash disciples, amen, of Christ are tied to and dependent on and shaped by external forces and the spirit of religion. Church, if you can hear anything else your pastor's saying, we're not building religion, we're not depending on religion, the spirit of religion is not going to shape us any longer. It's the kingdom of God and the essence of the power of the King that will come in internally and turn us into the disciples of Christ that will make a difference in the world. So these spirit of religion and these outside forces want to shape, mold, and change your identity. They want you to have another source besides God. That's the whole essence. Can you have another source that you can depend on besides God? That's what they want to do. They want to drive you away. Amen? And so that's why we're seeing in our culture today, people don't know who they are anymore. Right? They don't even know whether they're a guy or a girl. I mean, come on. And it's purposely, understand what's happening in the spirit, is they're messing with people's soul so they can't identify who they are, so then they can be controlled by an external force. That's why our kids are messed up. Some of them. Not the believers. And so I want to say this to you because it does not, the people do not have a revelation of the true identity of Christ. And there's a problem with this perception because it is exactly opposite and contradicts God's word. If you'd be amazed that many of believers allow something external, even yea, voice of government, make you do something contrary to what you know inside is the Word of God. And unless we know and what's in us, we will start to waver inside. You don't waver outside first. You waver inside. People don't fall from grace from the outside. They fall from grace period by period from the inside. So the problem, the perception is that the world has is opposite of what God is. And his process of changing a person's life from the inside by the indwelling and dwelling of the power of Holy Spirit. What's on the inside? Who's on the inside? Who's controlling our lives? Do you even know him? Do you know his personality? Do you know his character traits? Do you even know who he is? Or have you ever sat down and say, I don't know you. Would you help me know you? You see, everything Pastor Mark is talking about the inside and the kingdom stems from the Spirit of God. Life is from the Spirit of God. We have to get out of the soul realm or psyche. We have to get out of that. And even in the church life, we have been programmed to depend on our minds and our thinking rather than the Spirit in our heart and being pulled into the mind of Christ. You understand what I'm saying? See, the Lord has showed me that most believers / Christians do not have an understanding or knowledge of the working plan and relationship between the triune God and the body of Christ. We don't have an understanding. We don't know how he works. Three in one, one in three? I don't even know how he works. How can God run the universe but yet sit inside me? We don't understand that. And because we don't understand it, we run from it. Have you ever figured out why people don't want to be Christians? Because they don't want to be held accountable once they meet the King. And I'm going to lay one on you because the Lord said this to me this morning. I'm going to say this kindly. He says, the reason that people don't want to know who is inside them is because then they will be held accountable to who is inside them. So you see, I want the Holy Ghost, but I want him to make me feel good. I don't want to submit and come under his tutelage and teaching, amen, to become the disciple of Christ that God's called me to be so that I can affect the outside instead of the outside affecting me. Hosea 4:6, we all know this scripture. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I have rejected you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law / word of God, the law of your God, I will also forget your children. What's happening to our children? Oh, it's the culture. No. No. We got to get God to remember our children again. We got to see revival with the young people. We got to stop pushing them away. We got to start being examples of Holy Ghost containing people that believe in God rather than out there. I want to say this because destroy is simply this. It simply means to be cut down. It simply means to be brought to silence or to nothing. Where is the church? We are cut down and we are brought to silence and we are made of nothing of a voice in our world anymore. Why is that? It's because we do not have the knowledge of who is inside of us and in bringing that forth in life and in totality. Part of that definition of destroy, I found it, I loved it, and he says, I'm undone. Have you anybody said, I'm done? I've said it. I'm undone. I'm just utterly undone. That's not the Spirit of the Lord talking to you. That's your flesh. God's design and plan for the deliverance and redemption and restoration of his creation from the curse of sin will flow through the triune God. Hear me, say triune God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you don't get to choose who does what. And your theology better not be based on what some religious person told you, because now you're dividing up the Godhead and telling you can do this, Holy Spirit, and you can do this, Jesus, but God, you can't do that. That's frightening stuff, but we're seeing it in the body of Christ. Are you with me? So God the Father, who is the triune God? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And what's God's redemptive plan? What's his restoration plan? How will he redeem this? How will he deliver culture? How will he deliver creation? Through the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Are you all with me? But you're missing a major component. And the body of Christ. That's who will deliver creation from the curse. The empowerment of the body of Christ, listen to me, through Holy Spirit within each believer within our bodies, Holy Spirit within us, doing the work of the triune God inside of every single believer. So the triune God, the Father, creates all things according to his will. Can we handle that? All things. How many of you know that God's sovereign? How many know that God knows what's going to happen to you before it happens to you? How many knows that some of you got an attitude this morning before you even got up this morning? God knew that, and his grace and mercy covered you before you hit the floor. Are you with me? So God the Father creates all things according to his will. Jesus Christ, the Son, delivers and redeems mankind and creation. Holy Spirit is sent by the Father to teach, empower, guide, counsel, and enable each one to live, enable each one to live and walk in the Spirit. That's what Holy Spirit does. It's important to know this because the body of Christ is contained and called by Holy Spirit. It's in Holy Spirit's in you. What are they called to do? And I don't have to. My wife asked me a question, and because I was doing a post, and this might seem familiar, but I did do a post on this. But what is the body of Christ called to do? It's empowered, right, to get and give and do the Great Commission. Now, you know something, Pastor Mark, and I know you know this, but this is frightening. How many of the percentage of Christians that supposedly have the Holy Spirit inside them, even know what the Great Commission is? And if you do know it, we discuss whether we believe it or not. You see, the ignorance is starting to show. Lack of knowledge is starting to show in the church. The Great Commission, what am I called to do? To worship God. No, you go back and read the Bible. Yes, you're called to worship God. You're also called to lead people to Christ. You're also called to deliver the sick. You're also called. I could just go on and on and on about the Great Commission. But however, I will give you the scriptures. Amen. And you can go look it up and study yourself. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Another one area is Mark 16, 15 through 8. So go home and study it. I know it's disappointing. I'm not going to read it to you now, but go home and study it. Amen? A little homework for you. So God has equipped each disciple of Jesus Christ with an immutable, unstoppable, unwavering force within every side of you. Inside of you, the Holy Spirit has given you an unmovable, or an immutable, that's what that means, an unstoppable, an unwavering force inside of you. So no matter what you face in life today, if you get out of the psyche and get into the Spirit, then you will understand that whatever is facing you, you have an unstoppable, an unmovable, amen, force inside of you. And that nothing can stop you from being who God's called you to be. Now, you might get stopped doing what you want to do. Or the way you want to do it. I love Mo. That was great this morning, Mo. Amen? So God has equipped each disciple from within. There's a major deficiency and failure in many disciples' lives today, preventing them from having a stable, solid, and assured walk with the Lord and his kingdom. And what is the deficiency? And it's major. And I believe this move of God, God is going to turn that upside down and change it. And your pastor is preparing this church for that right now. What is the deficiency? The deficiency and failure consist of the lack of knowledge and understanding of God's Spirit dwelling within the believer. I can tell whether anybody has that knowledge just by the way they open their mouth. Language has changed a little bit since Pastor Karen and I got regenerated and went up to the charismatic movement. There are words we speak now that was forbidden then. I'm not saying that legalistic. I'm just saying that the church has picked up the slang and unrighteous words and just speaking them out with no regard of who is on the inside. I've never heard more curse words, more vulgar words out of the mouth of Christians than I have in the last 5-10 years. There's certain words which I won't even go there that Christians use in their anger. Well, hello, get a hold of your anger, because Holy Ghost is not going to let you continue to live like that. God's plan for redemption was not only, listen to me, this is so important. God's plan for redemption was not only to give a pathway to heaven. It was to prepare, sanctify, and create holy temples, the houses that house his presence. And what we're done is we got this in theology is that we all got saved, we're going to heaven. Let's beam me up out of here, Jesus. And that is so detrimental to the manifestation of the kingdom of God upon this earth, because we were put on this earth not to escape it, but to change it. It is essential for each disciple to understand that God's infinite and boundless love and mercy and grace has been demonstrated as he wills to redeem, to regenerate, to restore broken down temples, flawed vessels, dilapidated houses, which I am representing and referring to humanity and the body of Christ. God's love, grace, and mercy, amen, is here to build up the flawed vessels, the broken vessels, the houses that have been trampled on. God's here to clean it up. And I saw an analogy this morning, and it was this, is that because there was a house on Route 10, that beautiful home. It was a historic thing, and so they remodeled it. And the house, why they were remodeling it, you could never tell they were being remodeled. But if you peeked in the window, you found out that they gutted that puppy. And the only thing that resembled that house was the outside, but everything else was gutted inside, and everything else was put new. Isn't that what God has done with us? We're all broken down vessels. We're all houses that didn't measure up. We're all vessels that fail. We're all temples that practically we messed up. Amen. But the point is that God's love, grace, and mercy is going to come from you on the inside, and he's going to remodel you. People might not even see it, and that upsets some people. You don't see the work of God in my life? No, I want to experience the work of God in life. I don't want to see it. Are you hearing me? And so the reconstruction of your temple and your vessel from the inside out, nobody might even know what's happening. But God guts it. And he puts a new heart and a new spirit. He does an internal work that gives you the unstoppable ability to conquer everything. Hallelujah. Wilderness is a good thing. Don't let people tell you wilderness. Like most of it, you look at the miracles in the wilderness and you'll find out. Amen? That's a good point. Amen? 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, and we all know this scripture, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? I used to say in Holy Spirit. That the Spirit of God dwells in you. Do you not know this? Simple question. Of course I know it. Okay. What does temple mean? Temple, the word, if you break it down in the original language, means shrine, sanctuary, sacred place, a holy place. That's what temple means. And in our daily lives, can I say to anybody, or better yet, can anybody who experiences my presence, can they say that I've just come to a place where it was holy? Or there's a shrine there? Or can I come to a place where I say, wow, there's something special about that person? because we're starting to learn what the temple is. People are going to see the temple and react to what comes out of the temple. God's trying to get the temple so he can use it. That's why he's not going to model it from the outside in. He's going to change and gut it so he can put a new spirit, a new heart, and that you can have a relationship with him from the inside out. Are you with me? See, that's why addictions don't go away, because people, the world says you've got to get over the addiction. No, you've got to get into the deliverer who is where. See, you got to get this, okay? And so I have a marriage problem, or I have this and that. You know, I'm not knocking going outside. I'm not knocking psych. I'm not knocking any of that stuff. But I'm saying maybe you ought to first try who's in you and the counsel, because the Bible says that he's going to come to counsel, teach, and guide you. Why don't we do this? Because we don't want to hear what he's got to say. Why don't I have a problem in loving love that you're supposed to love people. That's God's will. Well, I don't like that person. That doesn't make a difference whether you like them or not. Why do you think we have so much hate in the world today? It's because the body of Christ, the vessels, the temples, or the houses of what you want to look, we're more hung up on what we look like instead of being a functional kingdom of God where there's a flow of, and I like that, a gushing of the rivers of living water coming from in us, not us drinking it from the outside. People are supposed to come to drink our fountain. We're not supposed to keep drinking everybody else's fountain. God himself, by Holy Spirit, has come to live and reside inside every disciple, to transform and empower the inner man so that the rivers, and Pastor Mark referred to this, as the rivers of water flow freely and abundantly. John, I love it, John chapter 7, verse 38 in the Amplified, it says, he who believes in me, he cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from this innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. I did a whole teaching one time. He says the church has built systems. You know what a system is? System is a man-made reservoir of water. And religion has built the systems, and we've been drinking out of it for a long time, except the problem is it's got broke and the water's turned sour. That's why you have people leaving the church. That's why young people, after they grow up in a church, leave and they don't come back. God's after something, church. In this current religious culture, the disciples often use spiritual words, and listen to me, I'm not trying to be condescending to you, I'm just going to speak truth to you, is that all right? Because in our culture, and we've been around a long time, disciples often use spiritual words and religious cliches and statements and buzzwords with little to no understanding of the meaning, or substance, or the in-depth truth of those words. We just use them because it's the right thing to say. If I tell you that I'm a certain such and such and such and such, I put it myself in a good class. And so the buzzwords and the statements don't have any legs. Why are we where we are today in the body of Christ? Because we live on statements and titles, not substance and flow. For example, And hang with me, I've been around spirit-filled people for, I can't remember, something like 40, 50 years. So please hang with me a minute. If you get offended, then take it to the Lord. For example, one might declare that they received the Holy Spirit. That's a badge of honor, Pastor Mark. Oh, I received the Holy Spirit. I'm better than those people down the street down there. Or I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's one we grew up with, which is a factual thing that needs to happen, but it's not a cliche. Or I'm a spirit-filled Christian. That we get that all the time. Yet, beloved, after I hear these cliches, I wait to see something else. And I put the word yet with a big circle around it in my note. Because there is no evidence that one's life transcends, exceeds, or goes beyond the simple spiritual words, religious cliches, statements, and buzzwords. The world sees us more than we do. We have the language, but where's the substance? I hear more complaining out of Christians' mouths sometimes than I do people in the world. Well, I got to share my heart. Share your heart with the Holy Spirit. Get counsel, get whatever you need. But can I say something? Okay, stop putting out your poison on everybody else. So is that too hard? Are y'all doing all right? You're quiet, but I knew it was going to be quiet. Because you see, whenever we talk about the internal dwelling and ruling of Holy Spirit, it always gets quiet because we're challenged that now I've got to give my life to an entity that's going to hold me accountable for my bad behavior or my bad beliefs. Or I will be held accountable for my unrighteous self-talk that nobody hears. But Holy Spirit hears it. Oh, by the way, it's recorded. That's a frightening thing. See, God's after something that's pure and holy. If I'm going to say I'm a disciple of Christ, God wants my life to be like the disciple of Christ, not some religious trained up person that I stand up and give all the religious answers. Because religion doesn't produce life. It produces death. Kingdom produces life. The truth will move you beyond lifeless titles and religious vocabulary into a new life of the fullness of God. Being transformed into the image of Christ. Amen? Let me go back and just give you a reference. You're going to be go beyond the vocabulary into a new life of the fullness of God, which is found in Ephesians 3:19. Also, you'll be transformed into the image of Christ, found in 2 Corinthians 3:18. And experiencing the abundance of Holy Spirit, the giftings, the fruit, the counsel, the truth, the power, the external and intimate relationship with the Godhead bodily. Now, I just gave you a mouthful, which we could teach on. Maybe we'll put it all together and do something with it. Okay, but what did I just say to you? How many of you know you got Holy Spirit in you? How many of you know that Holy Spirit's nature is not divorced from him when he comes inside of you? Well, by the way, how many of you know the Holy Spirit's in you? And then the Holy Spirit is called the fruit of the Spirit. And so when Holy Spirit comes in you, the guiding and directing of counsel is, I want to bring forth my fruit out of you that everybody else takes the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of the flesh. And so we're looking for the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, Lord, give me this. No, if you have Holy Spirit in you, you already have it. You have to have relationships. Sit down and ask God, how do I pull this out of me? And release it to those around me. Amen? Giftings. Oh, the giftings of God. How many people have run to different services looking at the giftings? Wanting giftings, wanting this and wanting that. Going there, I'm going to go to this church because the anointing is there and I want to get his anointing. Well, if God wants you to have his anointing, Pastor said, just like here to give it to you. Stop looking for something that someone else has. Because you think it's better. Well, it has nothing to do with your call. You just want to get the enjoyment of having it. Titles. God's after something, church. He doesn't want to play church with us. He wants to be the church. All that the Holy Spirit has, is on the inside of you. Please go study the life of Holy Spirit. If you can't, it's okay to go buy a book on Holy Spirit. Buy a good one, but go buy a book on Holy Spirit. Or just get in the Word. and study the Spirit of God. Study it. Don't take his and my word for this. God help us. I stopped taking pastors' words and preaching a long time ago. I listen to them, I get edified, and I get taught by them. But, beloved, let me tell you, I go home and look it up, too. Because if I'm hearing out of an anointed preacher, and I've heard a lot of them, I mean, we grew up in where we've heard people from all around the world. And people sit there and Google eye over them. Well, you better get beyond the Google eye and start getting in the Word and make sure they're telling you the truth. Is that too hard? So I'm going to wrap this up. I was going to get into another section called something else that's dwelling inside you, which is the kingdom of God, and that's a whole message in itself. Okay, the kingdom of God is in you. Amen. But let me finish this up, and then I'm going to wrap this up. So let's ponder this, church. Let's ponder the spiritual truth. That each disciple of Christ, every one of us in this room, are the dwelling place, the sanctuary, and the residence of Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Can we ponder on that? Would you go home today and just ponder on something? That the third person of the Trinity, God Himself, is in me. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, it says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have from God?" From who? From God. "And you are not your own." Oh, that's another reason we don't want to know the Holy Spirit, because once you find out, the Holy Spirit's going to tell you, you've been bought with a price and you're not your own, so don't go do your own thing until you check with me. Oh, that's bondage. No, that's liberty. That's freedom. And I'll prove it to you in just a second. Verse 20 says, "For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your," where? "In your body and in your spirit." Hello? Hello? "Which," what? "Are God's." Holy Spirit, I want you to hear this now. I want to emphasize this, and I'm going to close with this scripture here. Holy Spirit is God. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is God. Actually lives and exists within each disciple. Selah. See, once you hear what I'm saying, you won't ask for God to bring the revival. You realize you are the revival. You won't ask God to bring love. You can realize that you are love. Why? Because love exists in me. You don't have to look for joy because you are joy. You don't have to look for someone to go be a healer. You are. You're in all. The religious system has told you that belongs to the ministry, and God says the ministry is not them, it's you. They teach, you work. So God, Holy Spirit, is God, who actually lives and exists within each single disciple. Along, listen to me, with his nature. The nature of God is in you. It's available to you. You just got to get a hold of him and spend time with him. His character. His character is within you. His authority is in you. His power is within you. And the one I like the most, because it gives me goose pimples sometimes, his presence is ever in you. If we take long enough to let him show it to us. Maybe we need to get off the merry-go-round the world has put us on. Or maybe we ought to get off the stature the church has put us on and start functioning as the body of Christ, a living organism. Yes, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Resurrection power. That same Spirit that hovered over the earth, hovered over the darkness and the evil until God got up and said, "Let there be light." Holy Spirit is in you, hovering over your stuff. And he's preparing your spirit and your heart and your soul. Because there's a day that God will get up in your life and says, "Let there be victory. Let there be healing. Let there be prosperity. Let there be." It will happen to every one of us. So that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, Romans 8:11, "And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." 2 Corinthians 3:17. Stop looking to be free and accept your freedom. He doesn't have the key to your freedom. I don't have the key to your freedom. No one has the key to your freedom except God himself. Why? Because he created you, he's in you, and he loves you more than anybody else. Sometimes we can't get past our flaws. God doesn't even see our flaws. I don't know about you, but my Bible says that when my Father looks at me through the blood of Jesus, I'm clean. White as snow. He doesn't even see my blemishes. Oh, because that's what the Father sees. And the triune God is one and three and three and one. Then if the Father doesn't concentrate on my blemishes, then would not Holy Spirit that is contained within me do the same thing? Why? Because he's God. He doesn't see you like humanity does. He sees you through the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ. And he sees you by the power and the essence of the life of Holy Spirit living within you. Seek the Lord, the revelation, the truth, and reality of who lives in you. And give yourself to him. Church, would you stop fighting with God inside? Because that's what we're doing. Some of us are scared to death to recognize the Holy Spirit is in my life and controls me. We're scared to death. Why? Because I can't go do what I want. You have been fooled. You've been caught wayside. Because there's nothing out there. Nothing. Nothing. That can give you what Holy Spirit can. I'll close with the scripture. Ephesians 3:16-19. "That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to the strength with power through his Spirit," where? In the inner man. "So that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Al. Good word this morning. I just want to share something with you guys very quickly. I thought about it when Elder Mo was sharing, and she I forget how you said it, Mo, but something about God question, you know, we question our faith, right? But Paul says it like this. Paul says, examine yourself to make sure that you're still in the faith. And our faith, my beloved, grows as we get older and older. I'm trying to make this shorter. I feel like I'm blocked by this thing. Like, you know, stand on my stool or something. My beloved, as you journey with the Holy Spirit, every one of us will hit seasons when this is the question. I know you said you trust me, but do you trust me right now? Do you trust me when I do it this way, right? Oh, Lord, do this. And he's like, okay, buckle up. Because I'll get you where you asked me to go. We're just not going to take the route you think we're going to take. Because it's about getting your heart right when you get there, not about getting there. Yeah. Can I get amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come. Thank you, so grateful for your faithfulness over this ministry, faithfulness over our personal lives, Lord God. And God, we do just surrender our hearts to you right now. We acknowledge that you are a perfect Father. Absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect. Father, that you see all, you know all, you know the end from the beginning. There's nothing that surprises you, nothing that there's, you, a curve, you hit curveballs out of the park. The devil can't trick you. The devil can't deceive you. The devil can't sneak around behind your back. God, you know everything. And so, Father, we can trust you. And I want to just close this prayer by saying this. I've been reading some stuff on freedom this week. And Pastor Al touched on it in his sermon. And basically, here's the thought. Freedom is not I do whatever I want. And this particular preacher, he says, prisons are full of people who've done whatever they wanted. Freedom is what Jesus gave us to become who God designed us to be before we came to earth. It's the freedom to become who we're called to be. So, Lord, we want that freedom. That freedom, God. Where joy and life and peace and power and wisdom, the kingdom is flowing in us and through us, in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen? Amen, guys. Have an awesome week. We'll be back here on Wednesday night. Facebook and YouTube, thank you guys for being with us. Facebook, Wednesday night, prayer at 7 o'clock. We're on Zoom as well. If you get our Zoom link, you're welcome to come in. We got a few people Zoom in with us. And then next Sunday, we'll be back here, 9 a.m. All right. So just remember, parking lot will be chewed up a little bit. Don't be surprised by that. Other than that, guys, have an awesome week. Amen. Bless you.